You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, June 24th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. You might be listening or watching on one of the other platforms we've got out there as well. However you got here, we appreciate it. Thanks for kicking your day off right here. I have got a question for you. Have you opened your windows yet? Are you able to open the windows yet? Now, not everybody can. There's a line of showers that stretches from basically Platteville to the Dells to Shawano to Marinette. There's a little shower activity in Clark County back to Pierce County that's dissipating right now. But once it gets past, you can open the windows. It's 63 here. It's 20 degrees cooler than yesterday at this time up here in the Chippewa Valley. And it is just downright pleasant to be able to do that. For now, we've got chances of rain, you know, throughout the coming days here, and Brittany Merlot will be here with full forecast details coming up in just a bit. But coming up on the program today, a surprising update in the state budget debate at the state capitol. Governor Tony Evers has drawn a red line and said that without one particular thing in the state budget bill that Republicans are going to send him, he won't sign it. And it deals with the crisis of affordable child care in Wisconsin. So we'll have more to say about that throughout the course of the morning, including at 7:30 with Corinne Hendrickson. She's a child care operator from New Glarus. She has been leading the charge to help improve public awareness of the crisis that's being endured in Wisconsin by providers, by parents, by child care workers. So many more people are aware of just how bad things are out there. Except it seems some Republicans in the legislature who are still in denial or don't value the role of child care because they just as soon mom or maybe dad stay at home. Along those lines, the New York Times has a new feature story on Sean Duffy, the former congressman from up north and the current U.S. Transportation Secretary. He is using his platform to spread a message, and it's not about transportation. It's make more babies because it's good for America. But what we wonder is it all babies or just a certain group of them, given his record on supporting or not supporting new parents, people who need food assistance for their kids, WIC, affordable housing, good schools, anything else that would help families grow for families that don't have jobs on TV or connections in politics. We'll visit with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media's political editor, and we'll talk about a new Washington Post story on Wisconsin's congressional districts. There are 8 of them. We have the same maps in place for this as we did in the last decade. The legislative maps got changed. The congressional ones did not. But right here, smack dab in the middle of the decade, there is a chance the lines might be redrawn. And if so, that could decide control of Congress nationwide. So a lot of people, once again, looking at Wisconsin as, you know, kind of the bellwether for how things could go in the rest of the country. All right, we mentioned that Brittany will be here in an hour. Her state forecast says chances for rain throughout the rest of the week as a front stalls across the state, also setting up the potential for some flooding in places. The forecast for today says it's going to be sunny up north, clouds and scattered showers south, highs today in the mid to upper 70s with a light northeasterly wind. So different than that windy, hot south wind that we had all weekend. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, some lingering showers south. Lows tonight in the mid-50s up north, low 60s south with a light wind. And again, temperatures in the low 60s in many parts of Wisconsin right now. Alicia on YouTube. Oh, hey there. Hi. Yes, hi. Nice to see you. Thank you there for being there. Roger in Stevens Point on Facebook says it's much better outside this morning. 66 in Stevens Point on refuse collection day. So if it's trash day, get those cans out there. And meanwhile, down in Madison in Studio A2, we find Parker Olson standing by. How are you this morning?
Doing pretty good, Pat. I am a little tireder than I wanted to be today, but that's part of the job.
Did you have a Mallards game last night?
No, I didn't. Else? Just, okay. I fell asleep for the first probably like six innings of the Brewer game, woke up for the end of it, was very disappointed, and now here I am.
Well, that's exactly where I was on, you know, I watched the Brewer game, the first part of it anyway. I was very excited to see the Brewers coming back in the fifth inning. Christian Yelich with a game-tying home run in the fifth inning. I'm like, okay, we're on our way. And then the Pirates get a go-ahead triple in the sixth, and they hang on to win 5-4. But that home run by Yelich, I like the way it just stayed fair. And, I mean, he's been hot lately. It says here in his past seven games, he is 16 for 30 with 14 runs batted in. I mean, I did not know that this Christian Yelich was going to come back, to be honest.
No, after he broke his kneecap, I didn't think we'd ever see him be anywhere near great again. And would you say 16 for 30? That's pretty great.
I would say batting better than 500 is good that way. Yeah, that is just fine. Freddy Peralta is pitching in game two of the series tonight with the Pirates. Pregame is going to start at 6:05 on several Civic Media radio stations. And then there is that pitching matchup tomorrow afternoon, a hot new rookie, Jacob Mizorowski for the Brewers, Paul Skeens for the Pirates. It's going to be an early afternoon game. There's going to be all kinds of people taking off for work, making up some kind of excuses, like maybe they don't feel great, or, you know, maybe they got to go, you know, take care of some errands that happen to be at American Family Field. Parker, you don't know anybody like that, do you?
No, not anybody at all. No, nobody, definitely nobody here in Madison A2 that would want to do that.
Oh, well, that's good. We've got I've just scheduled a special team meeting for the show. 1:05 tomorrow afternoon. Are you free to make that?
I guess I can make it if you really would like.
No, I really would not.
So. Okay.
Okay. But yeah, I've seen a few other people who's either their workplace has a block of tickets or they have tickets. And yeah, that game tomorrow, that ticket's getting really popular all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So, and again, there's no guarantee, but boy, if that pitching matchup, you know, lives up to its potential, tomorrow afternoon's game is going to be a lot of fun.
That could be the pitcher duel of the year, honestly. Yeah, I want to look and see what those tickets are going for, because that sounds like they're probably could run that up.
Yes, that consider that an assignment. Yeah, let us know when you see what's happening on the ticket prices. And while you do, I have to mention that yesterday, and I think this was around 7:30 or so. We had the, you know, one daughter and two kids here, so the 6-year-old and the 3-year-old made a quick appearance on screen here right before they took off, and they had an 8-hour drive ahead of them to get back home. And, you know, 8-9 hours later, I sent a text to my daughter, and or she texted first, say that she'd made it back all right. And I said, I hope the trip went well. You know, thanks for coming out and everything. And she's asked me a question. Let me set it up by saying that, again, the 6-year-old, the 3-year-old, they both have tablets, you know, in the back seat, so you can download movies on them. So each has their favorite, you know, Disney movie or whatever, Nickelodeon, you know, things that are on there. And then they've got their headphones and they sit in the back seat. And it's, you know, that works when you've got an 8-hour drive. That's what you want. And I remember my daughter saying the night before to the kids, you know, with each one, okay, here I've got Little Mermaid, I've got Aladdin, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. Is that good? Yeah. And then the other one, okay, so I've got Bluey and I've got this and that. Is that good? Yeah. So fast forward to her getting home and sending a text that says, true or false? Oh, the 6-year-old at one point announced, I deleted my downloads. I don't want them anymore. With 3.5 hours yet to drive.
No!
I don't want these downloads anymore. I've deleted them. All I sent back was 99 bottles of beer on the wall, you know, because we didn't have tablets when we were kids. We sang 99 yes. verses of a song to get through it all. But I thought that was great. And it reminded me of our first grandchild, who is now 18. And when we had a long drive with him and with his now uncle, who was my daughter's boyfriend at the time, and he fell asleep. But before he did, he gave his iPad to Mason, who was, I don't know, maybe 8 years old at the time, I'm guessing. Yeah. And when my son-in-law woke up and saw that the whatever game he was playing, he'd amassed all these credits. I forget what kind of a game it was, but you amass all these different credits sure. that you can use to, like, you know, quote unquote, buy things that, you know, more equipment for your game, maybe more weapons, whatever yeah. the case might be. He wakes up and sees that his number of credits is down to zero. And he turns to the 8-year-old, like, what did you do? And he's like, oh, I bought all kinds of stuff. And he looks, he's got all the stuff that the character does not need.
Yeah.
But there was a shop, you know? So you got to be careful with those pads, those iPads, tough. Those tablets can be really helpful. But you got to watch them.
Yeah.
Got to watch them with the kids. Are you finding some ticket prices there?
I am finding some ticket prices here.
What are you learning?
I am seeing anywhere from like low mid 20s for the nosebleeds.
Sure.
To, well, if you want to sit behind the Pirates dugout, you're looking at maybe
$200.
$200.
Whew.
It's going to be a good game. I think they're excited.
It is. And no, I don't know the weather forecast for tomorrow night in Milwaukee, but boy, if it's anywhere decent, I mean, people are going to say, yes, let's bring in the little grill. Let's go make a day of it. In other words, if you're in that area, if you work in that area, and I have, you know, worked in the Milwaukee area, you know, on certain game days, find a new route home. So consider yourself on notice, Milwaukeeans. If you're not going to the game tomorrow afternoon, and that game's going to end somewhere in the 4:30 area, just find it. Do not plan on taking 94.
Yeah,
okay.
That yeah. sounds bad.
Same goes for you. Just camp out there. You know, I like the reverse tailgating. Like, you know what? We're going to tailgate here for an hour plus after the game and let this crowd go down.
Not a bad idea, because it is miserable getting out of there sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Roger notes that Yelich has raised his batting average by 79 points since May 21st, which sounds about right. Like I said, because he did not, this has not been a whole season thing. He started the season kind of, you know, flatline, shall we say.
Yeah.
And then it just has built right up. So somebody has been eating his Wheaties, which is a good thing. Nobody says that anymore. Is Wheaties even advertised anymore?
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Probably not, because, I mean, here's the thing. Wheaties, you know, the breakfast of champions and all that. And you go, well, why? Did we eat it much? Did our generation? No, we did not. You know what? Because it tastes like gravel. I don't know what yeah. Wheaties were made out of, but they were not your typical cornflakes, shall we say.
I hope that Jackson Churio has a sponsorship with Churros.
Churros? Yes, yeah. we got to get him some churros. Matt and Aaron Air coming up at 9 a.m. after this fine program. Todd Alba will be joining the program at 9:30. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Stay up to date on everything we're covering at Up North News, the news and the features. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. This morning's edition from Christina Lurie just came out, including this story. three states where Wisconsinites are coming from and moving to. She notes that on average, Wisconsin adds about 12,000 new residents a year. Where are they coming from? The real estate marketing company HypeWired decided to find out using Google search data for terms like move to, relocate to, homes in, followed by the name of each state. They found some of the most popular relocation destinations in America. Of the top three states that want to move to Wisconsin, there's Minnesota, where the average house price is $332,000, meaning a move to Wisconsin to get an average house could cut their costs by $38,000. Same goes for Illinois and Iowa, where, again, housing prices can definitely vary. As far as where Wisconsinites are thinking about moving to, the top three are Florida, Texas, and Tennessee, because, again, many of the fastest-growing U.S. cities are in the southern U.S. Now, of course, there's another way of looking at that when you see the difference in house prices, say, in Minnesota versus Illinois. You also see the signs of a strong economy there, which, again, gets us into what legislatures are prioritizing in all those other states. But regardless, to learn more about that and more in our newsletter, head to the website upnorthnewswi.com. The New York Times put out a feature story yesterday on Sean Duffy. And essentially, this is somebody else's phrase, but that Sean Duffy and his wife, Rachel Campos Duffy, both reality TV stars, preached the prosperity gospel of having large families and that having many children is the key to saving America. For example, the story notes that in a 2023 episode of a Fox podcast that they co-host, Sean Duffy said, quote, "If you make the decision of a big family, I think your kids are better. I think you're better." The report says even as Duffy focuses on air traffic reforms, tackling issues exposed by the plane crash at Reagan National in January, his policies and perspectives are shaped by the conviction that women should be having more children. Early in his tenure at the Transportation Department, Mr. Duffy signed a controversial memo pledging to prioritize transportation funding for regions with higher birth rates and marriage rates, an approach that Democratic senators have called, quote, deeply frightening and disturbingly dystopian. The story goes on to say, as the Trump administration seeks to both exude macho masculinity and encourage men to settle down, some conservatives see Mr. Duffy as an important cultural figure who offers a middle way, a red-blooded American male who once scored with reality TV stars. He is now a devoted dad with his own chicken coop and beehives, publicly pledging his commitment to his wife and their old Chrysler minivan. Like Mr. Trump, who also crafted his image on reality TV, Mr. Duffy understands what will get people to turn on a show and to keep watching. And if that sounds like the overall article is going to be, let me put it this way. It is very indicative of what the rest of the article is going to be like. If you go into a piece like this already thinking about the Duffys, what you just heard in that last paragraph, this article is not going to change your mind. This is, again, somebody who, how do I put this right? Your success as a man, or a family for that matter, some people believe that your success is measured by your fertility. And honestly, that's a sad way to look at things. If you have the means to have that many children, and, you know, Sean Duffy is from a family of 11 children. He now has 9 children of his own. If you have the means to do that, then good for you. But it's a little odd hearing that from somebody who had served in Congress and to put it kindly, was part of a Republican Party that does not have a great track record of supporting young families or growing families, whether it's, wages and affordable housing, good schools, WIC and other food assistance, child care, you name it, from a group of folks that, I mean, this is actually kind of new talk about having more babies. What have we typically heard? We've typically heard, oh, those families that just keep making more babies and then they want the rest of us to support them. So I think the caring and the rah-rah-ing for large families does not apply evenly across the board, if you know what I'm saying. But there he is with a very long feature about how this former bad boy of reality TV is now devout, devoted, and trying to work ways to have the Make More Babies thing be part of official policy. And I've heard this repeatedly from Republicans who talk about, oh, our birth rate is so low and we just got to get more people making babies. Are you so anti-immigrant? Are you so against people who aren't exactly like you that instead of embracing the immigration that made this country great in the first place, that you're just going to say to a certain segment of the population, if you all are more fertile, your country will be better off? I just think there are better ways to support all families, and we should have expected better from him in Congress, and we should expect better with him as our transportation secretary. Again, be tuning into Civic Media shows throughout the day here on the Todd Alba Show. Alex Modorsky of the Nature Conservancy talking about the Nels Knolls stewardship update. That's at 3:30 on the Todd Alba Show. More from Lake Wissota coming up after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Up tomorrow on the program, we will have what you would call a civic media potpourri. We have all of our civic media friends that normally join us on Wednesdays, Earl Ingram out of Milwaukee, Todd Alba in Madison, Melissa Kay in Wisconsin Rapids, James Kelly in Chippewa Falls, all telling us about the things they're working on for civic media programs, news, stations, and more. That's all tomorrow here on These Mornings, powered by Up North News. If you'd like to hear the program and not have to get up at the crack o' dawn, well, you can pod this program, listen to us anytime by subscribing to the show as a podcast. You can find Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on Spotify and Apple, and you can listen to back episodes over at the website civicmedia.us as well. You can reach the show, of course, by using the Civic Media app to send us a text. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. But on that Civic Media app, there's also the ability to leave us a voice note. So again, you can text the program, but you can also use the voice note feature to record a little audio clip with your question or your comment. Parker will get it and potentially play it and have us respond to that as well. So look for that voice note feature on the Civic Media app. Over at Courier Newsroom, the parent company to Up North News, there's a wide array of newsletters and podcasts and video series, and I want to share one of them with you here, and then we're going to talk about Governor Evers drawing a line in the sand when it comes to the state budget and child care. But first, at couriernewsroom.com, you can find the newsletter Control-Alt-Right-Delete from Melissa Ryan. And here's a little bit of her new column called Humanity and Pride, Solidarity is the Only Way Forward. She says, who is granted humanity? Who is deemed worthy of rights and freedoms, of health care, free expression, the vote, a voice in civic life? Who in the eyes of society has the right to simply exist? She writes, the MAGA regime and the movement that helped bring it to power are attempting to redefine humanity and who has access to it in real time. It's not enough for them to believe that not everyone should have a seat at that table or access social and political capital. This movement led by Donald Trump has declared war on the right of marginalized communities to exist. They've empowered themselves with a mandate to cause as much harm as possible in service of this mission. The right-wing majority of the Supreme Court is more than happy to serve this agenda, as we were reminded again last week when it upheld a Tennessee law banning gender-affirming care for minors. I'll let the experts break down what this case means from a legal standpoint, but it's a blow to the trans community, in particular, families with children who are transgender seeking care. One of the most disheartening developments of the last decade is how we've gone from broad public support for the idea that transgender individuals deserve human dignity to continually just asking questions and putting the humanity of trans individuals up for debate. The divide and conquer aspect is especially gross. As marriage equality became the law of the land, LGBTQ rights became more accepted by most Americans, so the right needed a new boogeyman. They easily found one, latching onto a vulnerable community and the children within that community. Far too many people who don't consider themselves right-wing were more than happy to take the bait. To read the rest of Melissa Ryan's column on humanity and pride, head over to couriernewsroom.com. Again, all kinds of newsletters and podcasts and video series there, couriernewsroom.com. And Melissa Ryan's newsletter is Control, Alt, Right, Delete. Well, I was surprised when I saw the story late yesterday that Governor Tony Evers had made some comments after visiting a child care center. It was a one in Pewaukee, and he had stopped at one in Eau Claire earlier in the day and made a statement that said he will not sign the next state budget bill, a two-year spending plan for the state, unless it includes payments to child care providers in a program known as Child Care Counts. Now, a lot of this information comes from a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story by Jesse O'Point and Hope Carnop. Evers hinted that the Child Care Counts program was part of negotiations over the state budget. Republicans have pitched alternatives they argue would more directly help parents who have high costs. Work overall on the state budget came to a halt last week. Evers has since urged Republicans to, quote, get their act together and come back and let's finish it up. It's necessary for people to understand, Evers said, Republicans especially, how important this is for the state of Wisconsin. Not supporting child care counts, he says, is going to hurt not only our kids, but our economy. So let's go back and talk about child care counts and what that is. I don't think I need to set up the entire affordable child care problem here. We have fewer people that are going into child care. They've had to raise prices as a result. That's put it out of reach for parents. And so some parents have had to make the decision to leave the labor force. You know, again, we're in a labor shortage like never before. We're sending mobs out to kidnap immigrants, and we're telling parents, well, if you can't afford childcare, then which is part of why you would get a second job, well, then you're just out of luck, and we'll just continue to exacerbate the worker shortage. Childcare counts took some of the federal pandemic relief that came in, that federal pandemic relief, by the way, that saved the American economy. I get really tired when I hear people going, oh, yeah, the federal government, they threw so much money out during the pandemic, and it's what caused inflation. It is not what caused inflation. Worldwide disruptions in supply chains and then the quick bounce back after the pandemic created inflation. The investments made through the CARES Act and the Rescue Plan and all the rest were what prevented the Depression. And one of those instances was the Child Care Counts program, because remember, we talked about frontline workers during the pandemic, people that needed to keep going to work, even though people were dropping dead left and right. But for those essential workers to go back to work, they needed a place to put their kids. And we already knew before the pandemic that there was a child care problem in this country. And so Child Care Counts helped provide financial support to child care providers so that they could keep their rates affordable and hold on to workers, pay them better than poverty wages to care for our children. Well, that federal pandemic money, of course, is running out or has run out in many instances, depending on the program. And Governor Evers has looked at how this program has helped. And as he has explained to the legislature repeatedly, this worked. This worked. When you use some of our investment And again, we have a $4 billion surplus. When you invest some of that into childcare to make sure that everybody who wants to be a productive part of the economy can get out and work to their full potential and contribute to the economy, but feel good that their kid is going to a quality childcare provider, I mean, that's as win-win as it gets. And yet Republicans in the legislature have turned a cold shoulder to it. In some cases have been just downright hostile to it, thinking that this is some kind of a welfare handout for people who maybe should just stay home without any explanation as to what other ideas do you have then to address the labor shortage and to help with the affordability of families. Again, back to our last segment, it doesn't make sense for Sean Duffy or anybody else with big families in politics to tell other people, oh, we need you to be making more babies out there, if we're not willing to make the investments. And childcare is an investment, same as schools. I mean, go way, way back to when public education first got its start in the 1800s, when the idea of a free public education was downright radical. Going, what? We're gonna create schools? I mean, look, if some wealthy family wants to send their kid to a school, that's their right. But we gotta milk these cows. We gotta put horseshoes on these horses. Whatever we gotta do, we gotta make these barrels. No, we should have that opportunity for children to learn. And so, yeah, it was a radical idea back then. No different now than people going, wait, childcare? Well, but that's part of the education of our children. And we're going to talk to Corinne Hendrickson in our next hour about this, about the childcare counts. But she did put out a statement yesterday as a childcare provider herself. And she helps make the connection that we, she says about childcare, are usually the first ones to talk with parents and support them and their child through the up to 3-year-old school district process. Without qualified educators, those children are often expelled from school instead of supported. Without our universities and technical colleges fully funded, we won't have educators to teach the next generation the skills they need to thrive in their lives and in their careers. It's all interconnected. Our responsibility that we should feel for the education of our children does not start in kindergarten. It should be starting well before then, making sure that they are in places where, you know, they are not only safe and cared for, but where their little brains are being developed. It's why you want good schools as well, so that they're not getting expelled, so that they are excelling. Alicia writes on YouTube, I've seen people say, why should I pay for other people's kids? I would say, do they like working extra shifts because there aren't enough people? Because again, there are so many ways that we can work, and Alicia notes, and it doesn't end at 12th grade either. Right. Thank you for clarifying that for me as well. So it all comes together, and Governor Evers understands that. He is, of course, pushing for, you know, improving funding of our public schools, K through 12. He's dealing with a legislature right now that not only does not want to more adequately fund the universities of Wisconsin system, but actually wants to cut state support to the UW. What's their crime? The crime of embracing diversity, equity, inclusion. The thing that corporate America has wrapped its arms around and said, if we want a strong workforce, we have to understand that not every one of our workers is going to come from the 54729 if you're up here in Chippewa Falls, all right? We need people from all over, outside of this county's borders, this state's borders, this country's borders, but we're not going to get that if these folks, if these qualified people face hostility when they come here. Let's work together on how we can understand each other better. And that seems to be the biggest deficiency in this Republican-led legislature, is not wanting to know how we can understand each other better. And I'm not talking about people from different cultures. I'm saying these folks in the legislature are having a tough time understanding childcare and working parents. And so Governor Evers is pushing some chips into the center of the table and saying, look, you can write a budget bill. Maybe you're going to want to cut UW funding. Maybe you're going to want to just give tax cuts to the very wealthy, whatever the case may be. There's a lot of things that he can line item veto. There's a lot of things he can negotiate. But you can't line item veto something beyond zero. And if there's zero in the child care accounts program, he now says he's just not going to sign the bill at all. And we'll talk to Corinne Hendrickson more about that coming up at about 7:30. On the Maggie Dawn Show today from 4 till 6, Angela Lang is co-guest host starting at 4 o'clock. Emily Miota from Kids Forward will be joining Maggie at 4:30. And then at 5 o'clock, Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign talking about their lawsuit against Elon Musk for billionaire voter bribery, money in politics, and the prospect of having fair maps into the next decade. Today's history lesson is next, as we always do, mornings, live from Lake Wissota, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Ah, the 70s. Such a lighter, sweeter, more innocent time when you could hear couples like the Captain and Tennille singing to about Love Will Keep Us Together. This was the number one song 50 years ago this week. I know, it's today's daily exercise and Pat going, 50 years ago? Really? Yes, Captain and Tennille's number one hit, Love Will Keep Us Together, was 50 years ago this week, 1975. On this day in 1922, the American Professional Football Association changed their name. They had to because it's a lot, it's much more telegenic, whatever you want to call it, to say the National Football League.
It's got more oomph.
Yeah, it's got the National Football League has much more oomph than the American Professional Football Association is proud to present the Steelers versus the 49ers. It's the National Football League. Who's the guy that did the NFL films for all those years with the big voice?
Oh, I don't know his name, but
John
yeah.
John Fasadin or something. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. So the NFL. Yeah, I got a name change this day in 1922. Happy 80th birthday to Colin Blundstone, lead singer of the Zombies. This sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar. I did not recognize the breathing in it.
Well, but some of the like the little keyboard look coming up right here. That.
Yeah.
I looked. I'm like, where have I heard that sampled? The list is too long to name. There's like well over a dozen songs that have sampled parts of Time of the Season by the Zombies. And Colin Blundstone, lead singer, is 80 years old today. The Zombies also gave a She's Not There, Tell Her No, She's Coming Home, and so forth. Guitar legend Jeff Beck, the late Jeff Beck, was born this day in 1944, passed away 2 years ago. At age 20, he replaced Eric Clapton in the Yardbirds. He later formed the Jeff Beck Group. In 1985, he released Flash, featuring a variety of vocalists, most notably Rod Stewart, on a remake of Curtis Mayfield's People Get Ready. Happy birthday to Mick Fleetwood, part of the namesake of Fleetwood Mac. I was looking to see if Mick Fleetwood had like any specific, writing credit. Obviously, he was the drummer. He was a key member of the group. And everything that you'd read about Fleetwood Mac wasn't so much that this person did all the writing and this person did all this. It was a big mishmash. They spent way too much time together. They did way too much cocaine together. They hated each other. And the result was a masterpiece.
Excellent music can be bred from hate.
That is rock and roll right there. Cocaine and hate.
That's why we get so much great music today.
Just making it sound like the devil's music here. Actress Mindy Kaling is 46 years old today. I like this one. Now, Glenn Medeiros was kind of a one-hit wonder back in the mid-80s. Here's as a teenage singer, born in Hawaii 55 years ago today, here was his big hit. I really like this because you have to go back and look at the video. I mean, he is so not Disney Channel ready. You know, it's like very awkward trying to sing to this girl. But he was a heartthrob for about an hour and a half. And to this day, he's got this daughter on social media who clearly fans still recognize him or whatever. And she mocks, you know, that her dad was a teenage heartthrob. The way anybody would, if you found out later on, like, your dorky dad was a teenage heartthrob, really?
That's awesome.
It is funny stuff. It's great. So Glenn Medeiros is 55 years old today. Chuck Taylor, it's not just the name of a shoe. He was a basketball player and a salesman. Born this day in 1901, died in 1969, and people talk about having their Chucks or their Chuck Taylors. And yeah, it was a guy born this day in 1901. On this day in 2003, Beyoncé released her first solo album entitled Dangerously in Love. Here's the standout track from that. It featured her then boyfriend, later husband Jay-Z, and she did all right after that.
She did okay.
Back 22 years ago. On this day in 2022, so 3 years ago today, the movie Elvis hit theaters starring Austin Butler as Presley. And I know you haven't seen this one yet, right?
No.
I know I've recommended it on air before. Again, it's not a documentary, so go with it. But it's very interesting. It came out 3 years ago today. Also 3 years ago today, a couple of serious news notes now in today's history lesson was the Dobbs decision. Dr. Kristen Lyerly talked to us about that yesterday. Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, where an extremist U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade and ruled that the Constitution does not assign the authority to regulate abortions in the federal government and returning activity to the individual states. A checkerboard of women's reproductive health rights has been around ever since. On this day 4 years ago, I think maybe a lot of folks have forgotten about this, but down in Surfside, Florida, remember when that condominium tower collapsed? It was called Champlin Towers. Collapsed this day in 2021, killing 98 people inside, which seemed kind of weird to first hear about it. And then somebody found security footage that showed it coming down. And just imagine you're seeing this apartment building there and it just comes down.
I completely forgot about that.
People knew that, you know, there was water running in the parking structure. They knew that the foundation had issues. It's right there on the beach. But, you know, nothing bad's going to happen, right? Wrong. And on this day, 2 years ago, the Wagner Group, led by Yevgeny Prigozhin, launched an insurrection against the Russian government. I mean, and remember, we all thought that Prigozhin was going to get to Moscow and Putin was going to be dead in 48 hours. And somehow or another, Prigozhin said, no, I'm all good here. And he was the one who was gone very shortly thereafter. Corinne Hendrickson talking about childcare in our next hour on these mornings of powered by Up North News and here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.